You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hello guys, welcome to another episode of the Partido a Partido podcast where we talk everything Atleti. So, Andre Bata said some time ago about that Atleti are going to be having a quiet transfer window, and Cerezo is just from saying Atleti are going to spend before they can buy. That means Atleti needs to spend 40 million before they can buy. And there have been a lot of news popping up recently about Atleti arriving at their wage limit. So joining me to talk on all of this and to shed light on everything that's going on and how we got to Atleti got to where they are, find themselves in this current situation, it's Emiliano. And you know him on Twitter, Amole Josimo. So Emi, how are you?
Fine, you?
I'm doing great. Better than Atleti, I think.
Yeah, probably. Can't be much worse.
Exactly. So we are going to dive straight into things, and we are going to start with talk about the management of the club. I'm sure everybody knows that Atleti, you basically have two names, which is Gil Marin and Cerezo. And Emi is going to tell us how those two get their positions at the top of the board of Atleti, because it's not really, really clear.
Well, all this starts in 1927. There are elections. Right at the time, we were still a fan-owned club, so there were elections at the club. Jesus Gil, Gil Marin's father, was one of the candidates. Until then, it was quite improbable he would be able to win because he didn't have a very good reputation. He had some corruption scandals in Marbella, and he had been already in jail. But what he did was present Paulo Futre, the best player at the time, as the signing if he was able to win the election. So that got him to win the election. In 1992, because of the situation with the debt for most of the Spanish clubs, they were forced to become a private owned. So, in order to do that, whoever wanted to be the owner, in this case the owner got to be Jesus Gil, had to buy the shares. But what Jesus Gil did in the last moment, because if not Atletico Madrid was going to be playing in the third division of Spanish football, what he did that in the last moment was to buy the club, but in a sketchy way in which he never got to pay anything. And this, years later, was proof that they got the club illegally. By then, Jesus Gil was already dead, but Cerezo and Gil Marin were supposed to go to jail. They didn't go because the case prescribed. So by that, we can already see the kind of owners we have. I don't know what you think about it.
Well, I think that says a lot about them, given how a lot of mismanagement has gone at the club, be it funds, be it for franchise, or be it player deals. So there has been a lot of things which are sketchy, and they keep on doing sketchy deal. And we all know there are so many question marks the fans have, and so many things that you cannot answer to. For example, we'll be diving now into the finances, and you have things like Aleti has been in Champions League for 10 seasons in a row, and Aleti are saying each season we need to sell before we buy. That isn't clear, and it's like that is the message they have been preaching to the media. So what happened, or we don't really understand, because it's not really clear.
Right. Well, first of all, what we need to understand is how the salary cap limitations and the financial rules work in Spain. Well, the limits are set based on the income you have, and to that you have to deduce the payment of debts and structure costs. What is making Atleti have such an issue? The payment of debts. The club is under a big debt. We are under a 1 billion euros debt, of which a huge part of about 25-30% is short term, which is the main issue, because if it was long term, it wouldn't be causing such an issue. That is what makes us enter the 25% rule. That in order to spend one euro, you have to save four through the sale of a player minus the remaining amortization, plus what you save from the salary of that player. Of that, you can only spend one of each four that come to the club. And that's what we are going through right now. We will enter that situation if before the close of this financial year, we don't receive an income of 40 million, which isn't expected to come in this last day. Sincerely, unless, I don't know, from one moment to another, a club pays the release clause of someone, it won't happen. So we are going to be in that situation that is going to be very difficult for us. What I think that we have to question is how we got to this situation. Because a club in such a big debt, it's hard to explain based on the amount spent and what we generate. I don't know what you think about this.
Well, as Amy just said, the club is at a situation where they can't register players. Like, for example, Cerezo himself said Aleti has signed with Sell and is official, but they need to sell, make sales of 40 million, and that's due to the huge debt Aleti has. And as Amy mentioned, explained, it is a short-term debt which kind of put lots of pressure on the club. And tomorrow is the 30th, because we're recording today on the 29th, which is the day in which the account for the 2021 season closes. So you see that Aleti has to do a lot of things to cover up things which isn't the best. And to talk us more into how we got to this situation, because the club said it was the land that they sold on the Calderon that was going to pay for the Wanda, for the new stadium, the Metropolitano. And then we have had sales come in, and you have had the money from Champions League, but then each season it is we need to sell before we buy, so it is kind of sketchy. So Amy, how do you get here, or where has the money been going to?
Right. Well, first of all, that narrative of we have to sell before we buy has been always there since I was a fan. I started to support this club in 2004, and since then there has always been a excuse not to be able to spend money. First, it was the debt with the tax authorities in Spain. When Falcao got sold, that was supposed to solve the issue. It didn't get sold. we had to sell Costa to solve that, apparently. That then supposedly got solved. But then we had another generation of debt that made us in that situation. How that debt was generated, it's hard to understand, because when you check, as you said, 10 years straight in UCL. What that has meant is that the club, without counting this last season, has already got incomes for over 500 million euros based on market pool and prices for performance. In terms of prices for performance, we are third in Europe after Real Madrid and Bayern. We are the third club that has got more money in terms of prices from UEFA. Then, we have sold players for almost a billion euros, and the net spending is only 130 in the last 10 years. So, we are averaging about 13 million per season, which isn't much. We have gone through three capital increases. So, the situation is hard to understand. They say that the problem is that they are spending a lot in salaries. Well, we're 12th in terms of salary spendings, and we are also 12th in terms of income, so it seems even. Also, the situation in terms of...
like you rightfully said, there has to be something to it. There has to be a reason for maybe all the money which we have. Alitin's performances are generated in the Champions League, the cash injection from investors. There has to be a reason why we are not seeing that money be going to the squad. I know though, some will say, well, they will spend 126 million for Joao Felix. Well, that was basically the money we got from Antoine Griezmann that we technically paid for Felix. And we want to talk about maybe other areas where maybe the money has gone to. You have like the franchise. They are trying to maybe increase the brand of the club, make it global. I think Gil has spoken about that Aleti has grown big global worldwide, and we're calling a lot of attention from fans all over the world. And you kind of have the sister club that we have in Mexico, in Atletico de San Luis, and you also have, Atletico de San Luis, then you also have Atletico Ottawa in Canada, and there was another in India, which I think failed, and there was also another investment in France for Lens. So you kind of have those investments which have failed. Amy, do you think maybe those investments in those clubs are kind of the reasons, or trying to increase the club globally, take it to other countries, increase its popularity? Has that is because technically it has been a failure, has that kind of maybe been a reason why some of those funds that we don't know where they have gone to?
I think that it could be part of the reason, not fully. It is true that they invested money on these franchises that as of now haven't represented the sort of success that they were expected to. I personally would question how having a mediocre club in Mexico would make us go global, or would make us be a more important brand in Mexico. Because to be honest, I think that what makes a club go global is to have great players and to win trophies. That's what makes a football club go global. And in the case of Atletico San Luis, for example, it's a club in which they have invested a lot of money, and it is also costing money nowadays, because if we go to last season, they had to pay $5 million to the Mexican League to stay in the first division, because the Mexican League has a system in which it's sort of a closed league system. But if you are in relegation spots, you have to pay the league a certain amount of money. In this case, it was $5 million, because that is going to go to the clubs in the lower league, in the second division. So the results, sports-wise, aren't going great. They are costing money to the club, because in order to stay in the first division, for example, they had to pay $5 million. And commercially, I don't think it has represented the growth that they said that was going to bring. I think there might be other interests there to make business, maybe by himself. In the case of Gilmarín, maybe he wants to make some sort of business in Mexico. And that's why he started a franchise in Mexico, for example. But then there are also other situations that could be considered, in my opinion, sketchy, because they are hard to explain that they took those decisions. For example, in 2013, they sold 40% of their rights of Koke to an investment fund that was related to Jorge Mendes and Peter Kainan. Well, that 40% of the economical rights of Koke were sold for 3 million euros, because in order to get that 30% was for Koke. The only thing they had to do was give up the 3 million debt Atletico had with them at the time. In 2011, something similar happened to Saúl. They sold 40% of his right for 1.5 million. Something also questionable, because Saúl by then was already one of the biggest prospects of the academy, and they were basically evaluating him for 2.5 million, which doesn't seem a number that reflect the value he had for the club right then, neither of Koke in 2013. Like, 3 million for 30% would be around 10 million for the total percentage of his rights when he was already a starter for the team. Then you also have situations like what happened with the stadium. We got told that by selling the land of Calderón, they were going to be able to fully cover the cost of building Metropolitano. What happened is they sold Calderón for 180 million and they paid 310 million to build Metropolitano. They also spent 73 million in a failed project to build a training complex in Alcorcón. So those kind of things also express what could have gone wrong for us that made us be where we are now. Some might have been, as it can always happen to anyone, you don't take the right decisions, or you expect something to be in a way and then it doesn't end up being that way. That's fine. But what calls my attention are cases like the one of Koke and Saúl that could be considered kind of doubtful that they were done with the right intentions, because it seems sketchy, in my opinion, to sell 40% of one of your best academy players for 1.5 million.
Well, Amy, just talk about sketchy, and under the current management, there have been a lot of sketchy deals, not just selling the rights of Koke and Saúl, but you also have players like Jota. You also have players like Johnny. Those are players that you thought the club is buying them, and maybe they are not ready for the first team at the moment, and should encase a loan somewhere, competitive football, and they are back.
No, I think, for example, the Johnny was more or less explainable, because they got him for a low fee because he was on his last year of contract, and then they got a great sale from him, because I think they sold him for about 20 million and they paid him about 6 months before 6.5 million. That was a good deal. But yes, what you say of Jota was kind of strange. And also, what we have to consider of Jota is that Mendes owned 50% of his right back then, because right then third party ownership was still a thing. So he owned part of he wasn't just his agent, but he was in part the owner of the player. So that makes you think too. And why is it that the club, when they had a 20 million repurchase option and Jota had already done great in England and was calling the attention of clubs like Liverpool, that they didn't pay that 20 million to get him back, and instead, for example, spent 126 million in Joao Felix?
Like you said, Amy, if we were better in our scouting, maybe we could have not been here. Better spending the money we got from sales, we could have not been here. So I just wanted to do maybe a comparison for many of the Aleti fans who haven't experienced Aleti pre-Cholo, or who were not fans before Cholo came. So comparing now and before Cholo, that's comparing Aleti State in 2022 and comparing it to Aleti before 2012. So what was the comparison you can make? Because technically, now Aleti is in a better state than then, but it doesn't look like much has improved.
Well, I think the situation now is better than it used to be, in part because the sporting success Cholo brought made us grow in terms of revenue generation, and also now we are selling players for a lot more money than what we used to. But what I just think is that the expectations before were a lot lower, and before it was more justified that we were in a position in which we first had to sell in order to be able to buy, because the revenues we had were a lot less. We weren't achieving much in terms of sport results, so we weren't also getting high prices from La Liga, from international competitions and all that. So I think overall it's more frustrating now because of that, because it feels like after 10 years of a great effort from Simeone, from the players, in order to be able to reach high positions, to stay at the top for many years, to be in the top three of La Liga for many years, breaking a club historic historical club record. And it feels like we're in a position in which we can't even think about planning in the long term and signing players without always having to think about having to sell first.
Well,
so,
well, like you have said, it looks like the board doesn't have a long-term project, which is one of the key factors to where we are now. Like you said, we are better off than we were before, because now we are at a position where we can generate a lot of revenues. But it is frustrating given the fact that we need to maybe free up space before we can sign players or register some players, which is really, really, really bad given all the effort Cholo has done. It's like, for example, it's like Aleti is at the edge of a cliff and about to fall, and Cholo is the one holding Aleti not to fall, and that is maybe justified with maybe Aleti giving him a high salary, because the owners are kind of thinking with Cholo there, they can maybe continue with their mismanagement, and maybe many of the fans will overlook that, which is not really the best. So hopefully Aleti can maybe get out of this current situation, which is not looking very likely. So it looks like Aleti are in a better place as compared to before, but it doesn't look like the club has made much of a progress, because we have similar situations we are facing at the moment, which is the same thing. We had to sell some key players in order to upgrade certain areas in the squad, and at the moment it looks like we have to free wages in order to upgrade certain positions in the squad, because, for example, you have Klaus, which is 8 million, and Aleti cannot afford a player of that. Even signing a free agent, you cannot even register. That really says a lot about how things are going behind the scenes, which are not very good. So I mean, all of this talk about the mismanagement of all the money Cholo has generated, I think we can say that because it is his performances on the pitch that has taken Aleti to where we are. It is his performances on the pitch that has made Aleti to be able to move to a new stadium. So how does this affect the team sportsman?
Think that in order to be able to fulfill Simeone's expectations, we know what he said in the last press conference of the season. The club expects to qualify to the Champions League every season, but he wants to win. He wants to win trophies. And at the same time, he said that when he first arrived to the club, Gilmarín told him that they needed to qualify for 5 straight seasons to UCL in order to assure a financial stability. Now, after 10 years, we are in a position in which we have qualified to Champions League for 10 straight seasons, and that financial stability still hasn't arrived. So I think that might tire Simeone. And at the same time, when you don't have that financial stability sports-wise, you're always going to have to be in the position of selling players, planning in the short term, and not being able to replace, even when you sell those players, for players of the same quality, because we have seen in the past seasons, although we had the luck to win a league in which I think we overperformed, and Simeone performed a miracle with that squad, because I think a lot of players aren't ever going to perform again to that level. And we also had the luck with Suarez arriving for free in a situation that wasn't going to be expected or easy to replicate in the future. I think that in order to be able to keep on competing, to keep on having the to be able to fulfill Siemens expectations, we need to solve this financial situation. If not, it's going to be impossible to in the long term fight for trophies like we have been doing in the past. You can see the situation right now. The club needs a center back. We aren't going to be able to afford one probably, and we're going to stay with Felipe and Hermoso after them having a terrible season. We are struggling to get a right back, which is also something very concerning because that would imply another season of Llorente as a right back. We had to go for Witsel as the defensive midfielder, that although I think he's a useful player, it's also a short-term solution. He's already 33. And then the situation with the striker, it seems like it's going to be Morata. Based on the multiple media reports, he sent the Simeone's favorite option. And at the same time, I think we can all agree that he isn't a player that is going to get you closer to competing for trophies. He's maybe a 15 goal per season striker. In order to compete for trophies, you need a guy that can score 20 or more, I think. So with all that said, also you're in the position in which if you sell someone important, it's going to be very difficult to replace. For example, in the past, it has been rumored that we could sell Carrasco. Let's say we sell Carrasco, we won't be in the position of replacing him with someone of his quality, probably. We are going to have to bet on someone or to bet on Samuel Lino and be patient enough to develop that player into the level Carrasco was at. But with that, you won't be able to compete for trophies, and you will be in the position of maybe in two or three seasons you sell that player you developed and you have to start all over again, which I think is very frustrating for the fans and for Simeone, because after so many years getting the results we had to get in order to grow, it seems like there hasn't been enough development in that sense.
Well, Amy, you just talked about the fact that Alexis financial situation puts them in a position where they can only go for short-term projects, which is really bad because that seems like that is going to be the theme for Aleti at the moment. And with short-term project, we know one day it is going to get bad. For example, it's like with short-circuiting, you keep on doing short-circuit and what happens at the end, it catches fire. So it is something similar. And at the moment, we are around the time where the flame can just start, and that would be really bad for Aleti. So you have just mentioned some of the players Aleti are gone for this summer. You talked about Witsel, which is an option Aleti has brought in. He's a free agent. For example, yes, he's not the guy he was when he was at Zenit. He's a little bit older, but technically you'd be hoping, moving from the era of Thomas and Rodri, and now we are going to someone like Witsel. No, it's not I'm downgrading him, but he's not like the workers player used to be. And you see that basically the financial situation is putting you in a place where we cannot go for certain deals, because there are so many wise moves in the market Aleti could have made or Aleti can make, but they are not making because of the current situation. I just mentioned Jonathan Klaus, who is a player from Lens. Aleti have been linked with him also, and they can't afford him. So you have all those things. And you just mentioned also about Cholo's press conference, which that press conference revealed a lot, because it kind of showed the vision Cholo has for Aleti and that of the board. He says the board, the objective of the club is to finish in the top four, but he wants to win. That his objective is to win titles. And in my opinion, I saw that like him sending a message to the board that it's like he has been keeping quiet for a long time, and maybe he kind of speaks, because I think this is one of the first time where I think he has not really backed the board or maybe covered up or spoken something that gives light to what the situation at Aleti is like. So do you think Cholo is going to stay for Aleti for a long time, because most of us don't want that to come, or do you think if things change he can change his mind and he leaves, or he's going to stay?
I think that if the situation keeps on going like this and he can't take the project to the level he wants it to be, that I think it's to be able to compete for trophies often, and he has made everything possible to reach that level because he has made everything the club could expect from him. I think that he might get tired and leave. I don't know for how longer he could stay. I think he has a contract for until 2024. And if you ask me right now, I have my doubts he will continue after that day. It will also depend on how things develop in this season. I think that this season could be a breaking point. This market could be a breaking point because if we don't get the things in order to be competitive, we could suffer a lot this season, and that could determine a lot his decision for the future. On the other hand, I think that one thing that could be positive and could hold him for longer is if we are able to develop some academy players. Now we are going to get apparently a good generation of academy graduates. They have got great results. This one has been a historical season for the academy overall. So I think maybe with that, if he's able to find some players that are at the level of the first team, like it happened before with Thomas or with Lucas or with Koke, Saul, if he can be able to find someone like that can respond to the urgencies we have, that maybe we can't be able to buy in the market, that could give us weapons in order to be able to keep on competing and to keep on growing as he expects. But overall, I don't know how probable that is, because we're talking about players that maybe are 18, 19, that need some time to develop, and I think Simeone expects some fast answers. So I'm not extremely optimistic about him continuing after 2024.
Well, hopefully he continues, because given the current management, him leaving might be very bad for Aleti. You just touched on something I want us to talk quickly before we come to the end of the podcast. You talked about the youth players, and this season has been really fantastic for Aleti, not just in the male section, but also in the female section in terms of the youth, because it's like all of the trophy, be the juvenile A, the B team, under 16, even the tournament, which is the Mad Cup, we just concluded today, you have Aleti either being in the final or winning. It shows that there's a lot of good players in the subcategories, and if the club can maybe handle it, because on previous podcasts, I and Ata, we touched on the fact that the club are not doing well to maybe in transition those players to the first team and also make them ready with the loan deals. For example, two seasons ago, you had players, about five of them, going on loan and playing just about 200 minutes. That is not really great. But things have changed recently, and you have the likes of Roro, Camelo, who went to Mirandes and had excellences. And you also had Borja Garcia, who was like a leading member of Leganés. So you have those loan deals which are great, and we are expecting many more of them. So do you think things can change and we get many more players? Because when a club is always in a situation where they face financial difficulties, that's when many academy players burst onto the scenes. I'm talking about a club like Aleti, who is around the top competing with the likes of Real Madrid and Barcelona. So do you think it's a possibility that the likes of Rodrigo Riquelme, Sergio Camelo, Simeone, Javi Serrano, Havegi, all of them, do you think those players can in 2 or 3 years' time be part and parcel of the first team?
Well, I think it will depend on many factors. We know, for example, that what was a breaking point for Koke, for example, was not being able to keep Diego Rivas back in the day. What was a breaking point for Saúl was Thiago's injury. So it always depends on many circumstances. I think we have some players in the academy who could have the potential to maybe in 2 or 3 years be part of the first squad. Maybe I think I am quite impressed with what Roro has done in the last season at Mirandés. I also like the minutes Javi Serrano got in the first when he was part of the first team. And I think there are some more players in the academy, especially in this generation, that Torres managed to the semi-final of the UEFA Youth League. I like the likes of Navarro, also the players like Camara, like Sergio Díez. Sergio Díez, for example, maybe could transition faster because we are struggling a lot to get another right back. So maybe that could give him more possibilities in the short term to get some more playing time and to show his value. And hopefully that transition won't be so difficult for him, which is also another aspect to consider, that although many players might seem extremely talented at the academy, professional football is another thing. You need another mentality, another physical preparation. It's completely different. So although they seem to be extremely talented and to have a great potential, then they have to show it at the highest level, which is never easy for a player of that age.
Well, hopefully in the future many of these players make it to the first team, because the generation we have now is really amazing, and we have seen rumors like Real Madrid trying to sign some of the players from our sub-category. So hopefully things change and we can maybe look for a system of a loan system which we can able to integrate these players into the first team, given our current financial situation. So, Amy, just before we go, I have maybe a tough question for you. So, do you think Atleti's current situation is down to the fact that the club, the owners are not willing to invest and keep short-circuiting, or maybe due to the fact that the owners have mismanaged the club in spending and trying to look for other ways to generate revenue in the name of the club, but basically for themselves?
Well, I think it's more than one thing. I think there has been mismanagement. There have made bad decisions in the market. They have overpaid some players, but those aren't the main reasons for which we're in this position. I think the main issues were decisions like opening franchises that aren't showing the expected results, selling the land of Calderón for less than expected, throwing money on a sports complex, a project that failed, and also a lot of sketchy stuff that is hard to explain, and a lot of it which we don't know about, but what we know about already shows that there are things hard to explain, and I think that says a lot. Because even with bad decisions in the transfer window and paying certain players more than what they deserve, that doesn't justify a 1 billion debt.
Well, Amy, you have just said it all. The mismanagement and buying players, of paying a lot for players, or paying a lot of salary for players who don't deserve it, that does not say it all. There are a lot of things we don't know, and hopefully in the future we are going to know more on how these guys have spent the money in which Jolo and his and the players have generated over the last few seasons. So, Amy, it's always great having you on the podcast, and hopefully we see you on future episodes.
Thank you very much, and you know that whenever you need me here, you can tell me and I will be part.
No doubt, Amy. Thank you so much. So, guys, thank you for listening to this episode. I hope this episode kind of gives you an idea on the current state of Atleti financially, and also for non-Atleti fans, this is how the club is, and Cholo has really done a lot for this club, and it's not just him dragging the club behind, but him holding the club not to fall into where it was before he arrived at the club. So, guys, remember, never stop believing. Nunca deja de creer.